I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Mel.
Hey, Taylor.
What kind of dog loves to take bubble baths?
What kind?
A shampoodle.
A shampoodle.
Welcome back.
Hello.
On to the Floofoo. Oh, Book Walk Hello. I always forget Book Walk Hello. Welcome back to the Floof and Papa podcast.
Thanks for tuning in.
We're here today to talk about dogs, floofs, papas.
With
pufferinos.
Me, Melanie Bolivin.
Oh, okay. Just announce yourself first then. That's polite. Sorry.
T.
You can tell I'm the sassiest of the two hosts. And Taylor. That's me.
That's
Luigi.
You.
That's Luigi's my go-to character on Mario. What's yours?
Peach, generally.
Yeah, because you're a lady.
You're a lady.
Yeah, but I like Luigi. Sometimes I go Waluigi lady. If I'm feeling a little bit evil.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
Ha 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 ha. Waluigi.
That wasn't bad.
That was actually the best I've ever done it. Thank you.
That was I'm glad we caught that today.
Do you have a story to tell
you
us about
what?
Dogs?
I totally do.
Sometimes I say things and I'm like, oh, wish I had recorded that. And then I'm like, oh, we're recording.
Yep.
Can we get a zoom and enhance on that one? Can we get a playback? Can we get instant replay? Zoom and enhance? Okay, all right. Carry on.
So I'm here to talk to you today about brain training for old dogs.
Aw, kawaii nay.
Right? So we're here on sciencedaily.com throwing us this article from 2018 that asks the question, could touch screen games become the new Sudoku of man's best friend?
Oh my goodness, we love touchscreen games for pets. We, Nixie the podcast cat, Fifi, oh, she's Fifi the podcast cat, but I call her Nix. She, we often put on fish on the screen for her and she taps
I love
the fish.
That.
I should show you.
She's my cat really, Midna loves that as well.
She's really good at it.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's very fun.
Heck yeah. So, okay, here we go. This is just real wholesome. Spoiling old dogs in their twilight years by retiring them to the sofa and forgiving them their stubbornness or disobedience doesn't do our four-legged friends any good. Regular brain training and lifelong learning create positive emotions and can slow down mental deterioration in old age, just like people, you guys.
Oh.
Physical limitations, however, often do not allow the same sort of training as used in young dogs. In a new study, a team of researchers led by cognitive biologists from, oh boy, Vet Meduni, Vienna, proposed computer interaction as a practical alternative. So cute. In the training lab, old dogs responded positively to cognitive training using educational touchscreen games. I love this. My heart is melting. Can you hear my heart melt?
I can hear your heart melting.
The aim now is to get the interactive dog Sudoku ready for home use. I just don't think it's Sudoku, but let's read on. Tablet games like Sudoku for old dogs. At disobedience school, I just said disobedience school. That's weird. I think I'm feeling a bit rebellious today. At obedience school or in private. Thanks. Puppies and young dogs are socialized and challenged using a variety of training methods to help them integrate smoothly into our daily lives. As the dogs get older, however, sorry, it's too much cute. I lost English. We increasingly and unconsciously reduce the level of regular training and challenges. Yet this restricts opportunities to create positive mental experiences for the animals, which remain capable of learning even in old age, explains first author Lisa Wallace.
Oh.
Thanks, Lisa.
Cheers, Lisa.
As is the case with people, am I a scientist? Dopamine production in dogs also falls in old age, leading to a decline in memory and motivational drive. Poor babies. But this natural mental deterioration can be countered with the specific training of cognitive skills. Under laboratory conditions, the training works using computer-based brain teasers. Brain
really?
Teasers for doggos.
This seems extra.
Right? It does take some preparation to get the dogs used to the touch screen, of course. But once the animals have got the trick, they turn into avid computer gamers. Okay, fam, where is the Twitch stream of a dog playing video games?
We're not there yet. You got to slow it down.
I need it. Lisa, I need it. Please further your research.
Lisa, work faster.
First author, Lisa, get on it. Touchscreen interaction is usually analyzed in young dogs, but we could show that old dogs also respond positively to this cognitive training method, says senior author Ludwig Uber. Excuse me, sir, I need you to get some gamers, some dog gamers on Twitch. Thank you, and see you there. Above all, the prospect of a reward is an important factor to motivate the animals to do something new or challenging. Mentally fit four-legged gamers. Oh, that's a title. Mentally fit
four-legged gamers.
There we go. Thank you. Laboratory solution to be made available to the general public. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Using simple tasks that can be solved through touchscreen interaction followed by a reward, even old dogs remain willing to learn. I'm just thinking of an old grandpa dog just playing his Sudoku.
I don't think they play Sudoku.
Okay, but they're relating it to that, so I'm imagining Sudoku.
I think maybe they play Sudoku.
Oh! That was so good.
That's the best thing I've ever said in my life.
I flung my head so far back when you said that with laughter. I came back with such force that I definitely put a bit of the microphone in my mouth.
Ideal.
And I'm sorry. It tastes clean.
It's definitely not, because I know how often Zane cleans these Michael Wynn socks, and it's not that often.
Oh, it's not, man, that often.
Are they wind socks? Is that what they're called?
Oh, pop filters, of course. The positive feeling by... What am I saying? The positive... Okay, done giggling. The positive feeling created by solving a mental challenge is comparable to the feeling that older people have when they learn something new, something they enjoy.
That's what I do. Do you know that's kind of what I do for old people, is when I teach ballroom dance.
Yeah.
It's like a way to ward off dementia.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of problem solving.
Heck yeah.
When you're dancing, when you're ballroom dancing.
I love that so much. My mommy.
Maybe I should teach ballroom dancing to dogs.
Please. I would do
it.
That.
Like, try him a bitch. I would do it. Oh.
Female dog. Female dog. Female dog.
Sorry, y'all.
This is a family friendly podcast. We're just very excited about female dogs. Regular brain training shakes not only us, but also dogs out of their apathy in old age, increasing motivation and engagement, and thus maximizing learning opportunities, says Uber. It is still
Uber.
Uber.
Oh, I thought you said Uber. And I was like, what's Uber got to do with this? Why they got their foot in everything? Uber, get out.
It is still not clear whether dogs slowly forget the things they once learned because of reduced powers of recollection or due to a lack of training in old age. The fact is, however, that lifelong...
Do you know what? Yeah. May I say something?
Please.
I think that's us. You know how they say all this rubbish about an old dog can't learn new tricks?
Total rubbish.
I think that's just about our ability to persist.
Yes. Reflects, you know, more on the human dogs than the dog. Things.
I think that's about us getting lazy over time rather than like the actual dog.
I feel like that applies to most dog problems.
Just dropped it.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Love it. It is still not clear whether dogs slowly forget the things they once... I've already read that. The fact is, however, that lifelong learning with the touchscreen can help counteract this development. The research team hopes that this study will not only motivate technicians and software developers, but also interested dog owners to consider future cooperation.
Do you know, though, I get genuinely worried that, you know how like toddlers these days tend to get obsessed with their electronics and it's really not good for them? I worry that we'll do that to dogs.
Do you reckon?
And they'll become really upset and they'll just be like, I just want my iPad back, give it back to me. They get hooked on it.
But are they hooked on the iPad or are they hooked on getting a treat for playing games?
I'm going to say iPad.
So not the food? If you...
Oh, combo. At some point, you stop giving them food for playing with the iPad, surely.
And then they reckon like they just want the iPad?
Yeah, then I reckon they get addicted to that stimulation.
That's a weird problem to have, isn't it?
Mm. Just saying. I like to think ahead.
Wallace.
Yeah?
Lisa Wallace.
Oh, you're talking to me.
With your host, Wallace. Our scientific,
I like that. I'm going to be Wallace from now on.
Lisa says, our scientific approach could result in an exciting citizen science project to increase the understanding of the importance of lifelong learning in animals. Yay. Hit up our show notes because this link will be there and you can actually go and read the journal. Read the research that this came out
y'all, of. If you go and read the journal, let me know because I will send you $5. To anyone who reads this journal, I will be so legitimately impressed.
That you will send them money.
Yeah, I'm going to test you on the content. But like if you sit down and read this journal, oi, $5.
Look, whatever we need to get social media engagement.
I know you'll do it. Producer Zane.
And that's my story. Yay, old doggos, new tricks.
It's my turn.
Your turn to hit me up with a breed, girlfriend.
Yeah, except I'm doing something. Oh, there was spit on my microphone and then I put my face in my microphone. I got the old spit on my face. That was gross.
That microphone didn't even touch my mouth.
I'm doing something a little differently today.
Ooh.
All right. Okay. We're doing an extinct doggo.
Love it, love it, love it. You're so good at these ones.
Thank you.
Tell me about it.
Fascinating to me. We are doing the court. Excuse me. Can I help you?
Podcast cat is in box doing a scratch.
Just like popped up and was like, hello.
Hello, can I help you?
Okay. We are doing the Cordoba fighting dog.
Ooh, fighting dog is problematic, but please tell me more.
Why is everything problematic with you? That's its name.
Okay, all right, okay. Tell me about it.
It's a good dog. It has high stamina.
Ooh.
Okay.
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 Tell me about it.
It's an extinct breed of fighting dog. The Cordoba was a crossbreed of Alano Espanol, Mastiff, Bull Terrier, Bulldog, and Boxer. It was the dog to end all dogs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay.
Its temperament includes being very fierce, very aggressive, strong, vigorous, and relentless.
Far out.
Relentless.
Damn.
They were a heckin' doggo.
Heckin' chongus.
I beg your pardon.
Big doggo.
Okay. Also known as the perro de pelea, Cordobés dog, or the Cordoba dog. Yes, that was my own accent.
Cool. You're welcome.
Originally from Argentina. So the Cordoba fighting dog originated in Cordoba, Argentina.
You're gotcha. Welcome.
It was noted for its willingness to fight to the death and its high pain tolerance.
Good grief.
In
these
addition,
poor dogs.
Many members of the breed died in dog fighting pits, contributing to the breed's extinction.
Ew.
The Cordoba was capable of hunting in a small pack of male and female. Otherwise, it was likely to turn on its pack mates.
Holy moly, brutal.
Like a Chinese fighting fish.
Yeah,
is brutal.
What
they called Chinese?
Siamese.
I knew there was an E's in there and I got the wrong one. I'm sorry. The Doggo Argentino is directly derived from this breed. Do you remember the Doggo Argentino? I think I've mentioned them before.
Oh, yeah.
In the 1920s, breeders developed the Doggo Argentino by crossing the Cordoba fighting dog with other breeds such as the Great Dane, the Great Pyrenees, Bulldog, Bull Terrier, and Dog de Bordeaux.
Dog de Bordeaux.
Dog de Bordeaux.
Dog.
So there's not... a whole lot on them because obviously they're extinct.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they were just these like huge, huge heckin' dogs that were used in like fighting rings.
Can you spell it for me?
Cordoba.
B-A.
Cordoba fighting dog.
Fighting dog. Just makes me think of capoeira in Bob's
Burgers.
Oh yeah, They are.
They were big old doggos.
the
extra large ones were 55 to 90 pounds.
Whoa.
And the extra, extra large ones were 90 to 120 pounds.
Holy moly. That is a lot. That is a lot. For those of you who don't know pounds, that's 120 pounds is 55 kilos.
Yep.
Oh, 54.
Pretty big.
That's a person.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh my dog.
So basically, the breeders in Cordoba developed a new fighting breed based primarily on the Bull Terrier, but with crosses to a number of other breeds.
Mm-hmm.
The resulting breed became known as the Fighting Dog of Cordoba or Cordoba Fighting Dog. It is unclear exactly what breeds went into the development, but local Alanus and Staffordshire Bull Terrier were almost certainly used. Other breeds which may have been influenced include the Perro de Presa Canario, Fila Brasileiro, English Bulldog, English Mastiff, Boxer, Bullenbeiser, and the American Pit Bull Terrier.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Closely resembled a Bull Terrier but was significantly taller and with a head more reminiscent of an Alano. Although the breed apparently came in colors such as brindle and fawn, Argentine fanciers greatly preferred a solid white dogs, which became one of the dog's trademarks.
Right.
Legendary for its ferocity and courage in the ring, the breed was said to never back down no matter the odds against it, and they exhibited extreme aggression with other dogs.
Good grief.
The dog was so aggressive, it was very difficult to breed them. A male and female would usually engage in bloody combat rather than mating.
I'm so curious about this whole nurture nature thing because
I'm going to go a whole bunch of nurture.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly nature, you're putting a lot of traditionally very aggressive dogs into one breed.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think if they were constantly told to fight.
There was such a dog fighting culture.
Yeah. Then it's going to be a lot of nurture. Local hunters quickly discovered that the same qualities made the Cordoba fighting dog a peerless fighting dog also made it useful for hunting boar.
Ooh.
So they would run loose and provide a source of food. The wild hogs of Argentina eventually became an agricultural pest as well as being extremely dangerous. So the fighting dogs were one of the only breeds that possessed both the courage to take on a wild boar and the strength to hold on to it until its master could arrive to kill it.
Oh, man. That's so cool.
They're also capable of hunting with one dog of the opposite sex, but this was not always the case. So like I said before, they had male and female in the hunting pack, so long as they didn't turn against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I won't go too much into it because it is a little bit violent.
It's a bit intense.
Yeah, but I just wanted to talk about a dog that we don't have around anymore. And
yeah,
I don't want to say it's good that we don't have this breed around anymore, but I feel like it would be
It's good that we don't have the culture today.
There's obviously still a lot of horrible places that do dog fights and
underground
bedding.
Awful.
For dog fighting, but it's good that we don't kind of have this culture of really, really tough dogs that just maim each other.
Yeah. Oh, man. That hurts my heart a little bit.
Kind of fascinating. I mean, I think if we did have them today, they're like a really fascinating breed and it would be so interesting to try and figure out how to tame them and train them and
nurture
work
them
with them
well
so they were good pets rather than or even wild animals rather than
aggressive
fighting dogs.
Yeah.
But anyway, I stumbled across them in my search for breeds and I just thought, what a fascinating dog. I mean, they look really cool.
Yeah, they sound amazing.
Almost wolf like but just stronger, like not as lean, even just very aggressive. So anyway, cool dog. Some interesting stuff around there, but anyway, I won't go too much more into it because it gets very violent.
Yeah. Wolf-like dogs, huh?
Cordoba wolf-like dog. Fighting dog. I know you do.
You know, people actually try to ask whether dogs should eat wolf diets.
What's a wolf diet? What's in a wolf
like
diet?
Like a raw diet.
Like raw by Beck?
I don't know what that is.
It's a nutrition fad in Brisbane at the moment.
Just like raw recipes, grain-free raw diets. And that is what my tip and trick is for today. Some recipes.
That was a good segue.
Thanks.
Well done.
Can this podcast just be that sound effect over and over again?
Yes. Producer Zane.
Producer Zane is definitely Zane. Shaking his head.
That was so incredibly rude. I don't even know what to say.
Wow. As a vet.
Are you a vet?
No.
Oh.
This article says that raw diets, when analyzed, usually differ a lot from what studies show dogs need. For example, they provide a screenshot. Check out the show notes if you want to have a see.
Stop.
That shows a diet advised by a local pet nutritionist. If this was a commonly prepared food, it would be a scandal.
A scandal?
And also there is good evidence that dogs and wolves don't eat the same thing. But if you would like to kind of get into this raw food for your dog, because people are just obsessed with diets. But I know when we were talking about Czechoslovakian wolf dogs, the one I was referring to on Instagram, they do – Wolf Dog of London, by the way. They do raw diets because
really?
It is that big wolfy dog. So anyway, I just wanted to chuck you a...
By raw, do you mean you're not cooking it?
Yes, uncooked.
Right. But it's still meat.
Yes,
right.
Correct.
Raw in our culture today has come to mean like, oh, I eat plant and vegetable matter only. Like I eat raw diet.
Yeah, silly.
Rather than like, this is raw chicken.
Legitimately raw.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought you were talking about like a plant-based diet for dogs. And I was like, that's not a good thing.
I would not endorse that. No, sir. But let me give you the ingredients because there's definitely meat in there. So we've got a homemade raw dog recipe and it serves the requirements of an 8 kilo dog for 3 to 4 days. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's like a Zola sized dog.
Zola 8 kilos?
No. That's a lie. Much. She's like 5.
We've got like a medium sized dog recipe for 3 to 4 days.
Cool.
So what you need is 250 grams of chopped beef or lamb raw in bold. Raw, because this is a raw recipe. 1 cup of chopped carrots, also raw. 1 cup of chopped apple, also raw. A quarter.
Say raw one more time.
Raw.
Thank you.
A quarter of a cup of frozen peas defrosted. 1.5 cups chopped pumpkin or squash. 2/3 of a cup of brown or basmati rice. Hey, this is cooked.
Wait a minute.
What do you mean you're not feeding your dogs raw, uncooked rice?
That would be horrible. That would be like 1,000 tiny knives like stabbing you in the throat.
Bit of an aggressive mood there today, aren't
you? Cordoba fighting dog.
You want 3 cooked cups of rice. Raw in terms of the beef, lamb, carrots and apple. 4 teaspoons of sunflower oil. 4 grams really? Of fish oil. Fish oil is good for...
Joints.
Yes.
And is it not?
I mean, it is. Yeah. It's just not where I expected you to go. Because I was telling you what fish oil was good for, and that is...
I guessed.
Oh.
Joints?
I didn't get the question mark in there. I don't know. This one in particular.
And cut. All right, we'll start that one again.
Rewind. Fish oil, I know, is good for dogs with dry skin. Also cats with dry skin. Yeah, so if you have a dandruffy dog...
Do you know a dog with dry skin?
No, but I know my cat had dry skin and my... That was like, yo, give her some fish oil. I was like, cool.
But don't cats like fish?
Yes. So I guess it'd be easy to give them fish oil. What do you mean?
Thank you for listening.
Okay. Method is just no need to get fancy.
Don't tell me what there's no need for.
I'll get fancy if I want to get fancy. Yeah, you tell
them. I'm a fancy lady.
Number one, cook the rice and pumpkin together until soft and allow to cool. Number two, mix in the raw ingredients. Dogs mostly also like their
dogs,
peas raw.
Don't mix in the dogs.
It was a bracket.
Then bracket properly, please.
In brackets, dogs mostly also like their peas raw. Number three, feed the required quantity per day.
Peas, hold on. Go back. They don't love you like I love you. What do you mean raw peas?
Like defrosted peas.
That's gross.
Okay, but you're not a dog.
I don't like peas full stop.
I love peas.
Mostly a dog. Does Zane like peas? What the hell?
Ow!
Okay, apparently Nyx likes peas too because she just bit me.
She sure did you.
She literally just jumped on me and bit me.
We love a podcast cat that loves peas. Rude. Also dogs. Dogs that like peas.
Sorry, Karen.
Defrosted, raw. Number three, feed the required quantity per day and refrigerate the remainder. And 4, it can be refrigerated for 3 days or frozen for 2 weeks.
I like how step 3 tells you to refrigerate and then step 4 tells you more about the refrigeration.
Yeah. But you can
Sorry,
also,
did you want us to refrigerate that? Is that what you wanted?
I missed it. I think you need to say refrigerate again.
Refrigerate.
Thank you. Other ingredients you can include could be, this is a bit odd, to be honest. So like do
hit me with it.
Look
anyway.
Into it. Have a look at this website. But
only do what's
say,
best for your pet.
Analysis of almost any homemade meal would show multiple vitamin and mineral deficiencies. In practice, this may be tolerated by your dog, but I recommend I recommend a vitamin and mineral supplement. Something called, I think it's just a bit of an ad, but other thing.
We got a bit of a plug.
If you're not using whatever the plug they're talking about, which I'm not going to talk about. If you're not using that, the following supplements can be ground together and mixed in with the recipe after cooling. This is so weird.
I find that weird.
You can get 1 zinc tablet.
Really?
1 trace nutrients copper plus tablet.
Really? This just sounds like one of those things to give your dog like yellow pee.
Ooh. 1 gram of iodized salt or 1 Centrum Advanced multivitamin.
1 gram of salt? That's like 3 grains.
Iodized salt. Yeah.
It's still not very much.
Well, you don't want a lot. Dogs don't do well with
a
lot of salt.
Surely there would be enough salt in like chicken or whatever.
Well.
Oh, we want the iodized salt.
Yeah. Bit interesting. Most dog owners will have a favorite extra ingredient like chia or sardines. Oh, cute.
Chia? I don't feed this stuff to myself, let alone my dog. Goodness me.
For the vet, each of their dogs gets fish oil. If you're feeding something unusual, it's a good idea to check with your vet first. Also, be careful with large amounts of oil due to the risk of pancreatitis. And
that's cheerful. The end.
But yeah, that's it. You're just cooking a meal for your dog. I think it's more about bonding with your doggo, to be honest. Making a little homemade meal. Maybe not. I feel so weird about the vitamins.
The vitamins are very weird.
I've never heard that before in my life.
What?
Crushing vitamins to give to your dog?
I would definitely look that up and check with your vet before you try anything like that.
Please, please, please do.
And we always recommend you check things specific to your dog's needs with your vet and look them up for yourself. Of course, we only give suggestions here. But yeah, that does seem like a really weird one.
Check it. Make it. Take a photo of it. Send it to our socials. We'll love you forever. I will love you forever.
I'll love you till next year.
That's specific.
I'm
why?
Tired. I'm out of love.
Ow. You know what you need?
Set me free.
You need more dogs.
Let me out this.
You need more dogs in your
misery.
Life.
Misery.
Okay. This is still going. Anyway,
show me the way.
That was a homemade raw dog recipe.
Yeah, that was cool. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
I'm sorry I got bitten in the middle of it. It was not my intention.
I'm not sorry because you hate peas.
I do hate peas. They taste like gross in my mouth.
We've definitely had this conversation before.
It's
on the
one
podcast.
Of the only vegetables that as an adult has not changed. You know, like when you're adult, like you're like, you eat a vegetable and you're like, yeah, this makes sense now. Peas still don't make sense to me.
I need to get you some of my mum's like pea gravy.
Nope. Sounds disgusting. Mushy peas on a pie. Don't
mushy.
Talk to me. I don't care. I don't want them. Get out your life with my peas.
Okay. Well, me and all my dogs will be eating peas and you'll be sad and
bitten.
And bitten by a cat.
Sounds like my life right now.
Ow.
If you want to check us out online, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at floof, F-L-O-O-F, and or an ampersand Papa P-U-P-P-E-R podcast. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We love hearing from you, so please keep your messages and photos rolling in.
Yes, please.
Thanks to That's Not Canon Productions for hosting us
today.
You can also find us there at thatsnotcanon.com. We have merch. We've got more about the show and other shows. You can check us out there anytime.
Also, guys, did you know that we have stickers? Because we have stickers and I love them.
If you want a sticker, message us directly and we will send you a sticker.
Yay.
Oh, I'm getting a call. Gotta go.
Thanks for tuning in. Bok, pet bok. A lot of doggos.
Goodbye.
Bok bok. Good.
The TV shows we watch say a lot about ourselves.
Like how political dramas allow Kurt to escape from real-world politics.
And how Jane's obsessed with identity themes in teen drama.
It can be tricky to work out why we love the things that we love. And that's why we started the podcast, Made You Look.
Bothers me in superhero shows.
Right.
I don't know why.
Each week we pick an episode of one of our favourite TV shows and force the other person to watch it.
Sometimes we actually manage to convince each other that these shows are great.
I really appreciate that it could be super expository without being super expository.
And sometimes we, mostly Jane, pulls them to absolute pieces.
Hey, you can't just hang a lantern on it and expect me not to notice that that's a dumb plot point to get you from A to B.
It's always a pretty fun time. And sometimes we discover new things about ourselves, our friendship, or something about the media we consume.
Aw, our friendship.
Yeah.
Come find us. Made You Look is now available on the That's Not Canon podcast network.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.